of what the Beatles called love. Remember? Anyone was here? Remember the song?
All you need
is love. But we were able to determine at the end of our time together that really all you need is not necessarily love. All you need is God, right? And in that we realized that the writer of the gospel and the letters of John simply had a different opinion. But this week I got to think about this concept and this idea of love, and I was wondering, what is love anyway? Yeah, we got more. I mean, what's love, right? Please, can you tell me what love is? I know that we have many concepts of what love is. And as a matter of fact, we have a whole bunch of things, attributes, a list of them in 1 Corinthians 13, right? And when we look at the list, we say, there's no way. There's no way that I can do that, right? Don't we? Oh, it's just me. That's okay. But I think that when we look at that, we sort of figure that is almost impossible for us to love fully. But still, love is. Right? Love is, and it exists. Now, as elusive as love is to define, can anybody define unconditional love?
No.
Had an answer. Unconditional love. To me, that is, I would say, an oxymoron. Is there such a thing as unconditional love? Now, let's read John and see what John has to say to us. We're reading in 1 John in the chapter 5 and verse 1 through verse 6. And he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God." Check it out. You want a definition? It's here. "To keep his commandments. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Did you catch that? "This is the victory that has overcome the world and even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." Now, when we read this passage, I have to let you know, I've been accused, and rightly so, of asking too many questions and providing very few answers. And to that I say, amen. Because God knows I don't have them. Unlike, there's a personality, maybe some of you know, there was this gentleman, his name was Walter Martin, right? And then another gentleman called Hank Hanegraaff. They were the answer men, not me, the Bible answer men. But I am not. I know that I don't have all the answers. And that's why actually I come up with questions. Because questions will help us, right? It leads us to contemplate issues and concepts. And I will continue to place questions before you because I do believe that in that effort, we do work out the wonders of God, the wonders of His infinite love towards us, His concern for us, and how we do relate and have a relationship with Him. Now note that John tries to make a point for us. And the point that John is trying to make is all about God. And it's all about God's Son. And it's all about God's Spirit. And that intimate relationship that they have. Now, that relationship is shared with us mysteriously. You've heard me say several times that we have a body, right? And we have a mind, and we have a spirit. And we think of those things separately, but where are they? They're here. Right? It's me. My spirit is not beside me. It's here. My mind is not sitting in my shoulder. It's me. So even though we speak of these things separately, it's us. And this is the same way that God is. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but it's not different, it's one. You follow me? The thing about it is that that relationship is ultimately intimate. It's connected. It's connected to the point that it does not exist outside of itself. You follow what I'm saying? So in the same way that I cannot take my mind and put it to think on the table, God cannot separate God's self from His Son. Follow? And the same thing happens with our spirit. It is us. So, we say that this relationship is mysterious because sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our head around it. So, we continuously work at it, right? We insist in thinking about it. We insist in figuring this out because that's how love is. It's insistent. Now, it all starts, according to John, with belief. If you do not believe that God is, then all this goes out the window. Amen? So it starts with belief. And the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Right? And then that leads to love. Because is we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we know that God is love, then Jesus must be love. And if Jesus is love, then we must engage Jesus in that same manner. Right? John says, if you love the Father, you must love the Son. So here we are. And we know that God gave us a way to engage in that love. And it's right there. It says, this is love for God. Keep His, what? Commands. All right. So this is where I'm telling you. This is where I fail. Not only that, this is where I had the hardest time. You know what it is to have a heart of a rebel? You know what it is? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
I know there's a crowd back there. Yeah, they know. Right? The heart of a rebel rejects anything that has to do with authority. Right? Doesn't want to deal with it. Just wants to stay as far away as anything that is trying to determine, define, impose anything upon us. So me, as a natural rebel, I understand this dynamic. And not only that, but then having that label, commands, right? Judith knows, my wife, that she's probably commenting on this right now, right? She knows that I do what I want. I don't do what she tells me to. I do what I want. And most of the time, that is whatever she tells me to. So, you see, having commands is, again, it sounds like authority to me. So whenever we speak about commands, I naturally, immediately reject that. And I'll try to rationalize it. I'll try to work around it. I'll try to see how I am in the right, even against all this evidence to the contrary. And what I'll take that concept of authority over me, and I'll try to figure out how is it that it works under my own concept of love. I don't want you to lose that, because my own concept of love is not the same as what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. And that truly is where we have the trouble, because we associate love with like. Anybody? Love equates liking. I love a strawberry sundae. Right? I just love it. So in my mind, what I am thinking is that love is anything that serves me. Uh-huh. Don't we love Mom, when they cook for us? Don't we love Mom when they do the dishes for us? Or the laundry? Don't we love Dad when they take us to the park? I'm thinking as a child now, because I've been there for a long time. But you see what I'm saying, right? Our understanding of what love is screwed up. No wonder when John writes that song, John, I'm talking about McCartney from the Beatles, in 1968, a year that was full of havoc, of death, turmoil, assassinations, all kinds of things, he comes up through the word and says, all you need is love. And that should solve it. Here we are 50 years later, and I ask you the question, has it been solved? Is it over? So then, I mean, that's why I say, I don't think that that's all you need. Because if that's all you needed, it would be just a matter of, I like this, therefore that's what it should go. And that's how it should happen. So you see, I have trouble with that. I have trouble with that. I realize that in my search for understanding this, I try to overcome my concept of love, which is liking. But I want to do that without having to be obedient. Wouldn't it be working so much better for us, right? If love meant you don't have to be obedient? Wouldn't that great? Then you could really do whatever you want. This is partly why I think that Jesus, in the Gospel of John, had this prayer. You all know John 17, right? John 17. I'm just going to read just the verse. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. Formula, right? This is math, okay? It's logical. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they, talking about us, be also in us, so that, there's a product here, right? All math equations have a product, right? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may see. I don't know. Do you see something there? I think this is awesome. As you are in me, and I am in you, may they be in us. Talk about intimacy. Right? Talk about sharing the most profound and intimate of ourselves. Talk about being an open book. Talk about being honest and sincere. Talking about sharing all of our thoughts. And this has a direct linkage into another term that I somewhat sometimes dig into, is abide. You know what the Lord said? Abide in me as I abide in you. That's Jesus, okay? Abide in me as I abide in you. That's John 15. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. and for whatever, and it will be done. If you abide. Man, it's so great. We have another hour where we can work this out. You see, love, therefore, is not so much of an action. Please stay with me. It's not so much of an action, but a state of affairs. Are you with me?
Yes.
And this is another thing. I mean, in the English language, in Spanish, and most of them, I think, that's a verb, right? Love is a verb, but it's also a noun. So we need to really figure this out here. Love is not necessarily our acts, but a condition of our belief. Okay, I know. Scratch your head. Go ahead. Go ahead. You have to think about this. Father is in me. I am in the Father. Does that have anything to do with how each one acts? There's no condition on whether Jesus is acting one way and the Father is acting another. They are in each other. They're inseparable. They're one. And if we are in them, then what does that make us? One with the Father. Okay. So this is what happened with my daughter. I'm sorry. I have more than one, by the way. You don't know which one it is. And I know this dynamic because I'm also a son, right? Okay. So most of the sons or daughters look at their parents and figure out that if they do the right thing, quote unquote, whatever that is, then they'll have their parents' love. Am I incorrect in thinking that? But I will challenge that concept because, as far as I understand, there is nothing that my daughter can do to take away my love for her. Amen. Is there?
No.
Nothing. And in the same way, there is nothing that I can do to take away that special relationship that she and I have. Because it doesn't matter what I do, I'll always be her father. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Nothing. So, this is the thing about unconditionality. Unconditional love doesn't mean, as we were talking about, right, that we don't have consequences to our actions. Unconditionality says, I'm in you and you're in me. We are one. We're together. We're whatever it is that we have going on here. It is. Now, if you make the choice of diverging from my commands, all I can say is that you're going to find something you may not like.
Right.
And you will have to deal with those consequences. My dad told me this when I was really young, and I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
But it has come to pass. Now, my dad loves me. It goes way beyond what I can do. But I truly understand that I owe something to him because of that special relationship. So if we love the Father, if we say we love God, we must love Jesus. And if we say that we must love Jesus, then we should take all the body of knowledge and awareness that he gave us in Scripture and adopt it as our own. Not that if we deviate from that, he's going to, you know, correct us. The world will take care of that. Are you with me now? Love, therefore, is not so much of an action as it is a state of affairs, a condition that follows our belief. Now, my mom's reaction to that would be, wow. I can hear her now. It's stuck in here. Wow. Wow. That is one of the reasons why she was able to sit us around in the living room when I was about 5 years old and tell each one of us, my brother, older brother, and I, and my father, I love you guys, but I love God more. And if I have to choose between you and God, guess who wins? And I'm like, oh! No. It cannot be because I'm more important, right? So if we think of ourselves in that light, then we must have, I guess, the desire to continue to work this out. To think of ourselves not as those rebels, but those who have been adopted. Right? And the one who did the adoption signed the papers without us having to do anything. Hello? Right? And he says, you're my children. If you believe in me, you're my children. I got you. Trust me. Trust me. And he says, this is the way you do it. So that special relationship does produce something. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, there is nothing that you can do about me, God, loving you. Now, 1 John 5, verse 12 and 11 and 12 say, this will be finishing. And this is the testimony. Please check this out. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Amen?
Amen.
Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So this is the testimony. If we believe that God is God and Jesus is the Son of God, then we have no option but to love them. And there are the instructions for us on how to do that. Love God above all. And love your neighbor. love the kids at Mole Home, right? Love even the government. Come on now, Scott. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Yeah, love those who don't have all the opportunities that others have. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's simple, isn't it? You can do it. Come on, there was silence, and I thought there was going to be like a great amen. Yes, we can. Oh, all right. I'll let you take that one home. Amen. Now, God, I just want to say this one more thing. We'll be done. The love of God is beyond our understanding. Goes way beyond. Don't ever doubt it. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. The only thing that we can do to really express that sentiment is by worshiping you. Sometimes we don't even have the words to express all that we feel because you love us. How can it take someone that decision to just engage with us and have us be part of them without condition? To me, it's amazing, Father. And as we look at ourselves and as we engage with this world, we ask God that you may transform all of our thinking. That you may penetrate every one of our concepts that has been accumulated throughout our life and put it aside in order for your concept of love to dominate our lives. That we may see the world as you see it and love others just as you love us. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.